And now, Stein Online presents Mark Stein's Song of the Week.
Hey, great to be with you. That's all, folks. Actually, that's not all, folks, but if you've watched Looney Tunes any time at all over the last three quarters of a century, there's a piece of music you'll be familiar with. You hear it every time Bugs Bunny sees a gal he has a yen for. Or alternatively, every time Bugs is dressed up as a woman, usually a Veronica Lake type with long, sultry hair, to ensnare Elmer Fudd or some such. Same piece of music over the decades. I don't claim to be a Looney Tunes scholar, but I believe the first use of it was not with Bugs Bunny, but for the introduction of Petunia Pig, Porky Pig's sometimes squeeze. Here's Petunia on the couch eating candy. You recognize that music? The Looney Tunes cartoons were scored by one of the most ingenious music men in Hollywood history, Carl Stalling. And his music was a big part of the success of the series. But when you're scoring cartoons full of fast-moving action, Wile E. Coyote's chasing Roadrunner, no wait, he's fallen off a cliff, no wait, he's up and running, when it's all happening that fast, you need to use musical shorthand. And that tune we just heard was Carl Stalling's musical shorthand for female pulchritude. We'll come back to Looney Tunes in a bit, but if you're wondering where that music came from, well, it's 100 years old this very month. July 1911, St. Louis. A couple of vaudevillians are passing through, and on this particular July afternoon, after the matinee performance, these two guys are backstage when one of the showgirls walks by. And as she passes, one of the electricians says appreciatively, "That's some beautiful doll. I'd like to get my arms around her." The one vaudevillian looks at the other vaudevillian, and neither needs to be told that that's a cue for a song.
Oh, you beautiful doll, you great big beautiful doll. Let me put my arms about you. I could never live without you. Oh, you beautiful doll, you great big beautiful doll. If you ever leave me, how my heart will ache. I want to hug you, but I fear you'd break. No, 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 oh, oh, you beautiful doll.
Words by Seymour Brown, music by Nat D'Air. They wrote it up that July evening in 1911 after being more or less handed the title by that backstage electrician. In the good old summertime, my fancy turns to old songs, real old songs, songs redolent of ice cream socials and back porch spooning. So we'll mark the centenary of Oh, You Beautiful Doll, and we'll hear it as it passed through jazz, western, rock and roll hands, and of course became a Looney Tunes staple along the way. But the composer Nat D'Air is basically a two-hit songwriter, a two-hit wonder. So we'll also nod to his other hit, and from the Stein Archive we'll hear Nat Air's son, Nat Air Jr., giving us his memories of that second song. As I said, these songs are both a century old, pretty much. They're both old-fashioned, yet they're both being recorded and performed today, which isn't bad. How did Oh, You Beautiful Doll make it out of St. Louis and become a big hit? Well, Nat Air and Seymour Brown owe that to another electrician. It's a few weeks later. They're back in New York. The very first Broadway musical of the season is playing at the Bijou. It's called The Red Rose. It's an undistinguished thing. The composer is a guy called A. Baldwin Sloan, and he needs a song to cover a scene change. And he can't be bothered writing one himself, so he calls in Nat Air and Seymour Brown and tells them to get to it. Just a song to cover a scenery change. Doesn't care what it's about. So they think this would be a great spot for Oh, You Beautiful Doll. A dozen chorus girls sing it, and it's okay, but nothing special. And then at rehearsal one day, one of them's leaning on a footlight, looking over the stage, as an electrician happens to flip the lights and puts the gal in silhouette. One of those great Edwardian curvy torsos, Gibson girl kind of deal. Fine bust, hips, great legs, and that's all it took.
Beautiful doll. beautiful doll. Let me put my arms about you. I could never live without you.
It was a huge hit 100 years ago. Nat Eyre said he made $24,000 off the song in that first year, which isn't bad for 1911. Let's meet the composer himself. How do you do?
How do you do? Our first song is one that I hope you'll remember, Oh, You Beautiful Doll. Perhaps you won't, although in its day it gave me that thrill so dear to every songwriter of hearing even little boys in the street whistling it.
Well, Nat, won't you go to the piano and start playing the song so the boys will know how it really ought to be done?
Nat D. Eyre playing his composition, Oh, You Beautiful Doll. You notice he didn't sing the lyric. Many years ago, I spoke to Nat Eyre's son, Nat Eyre Jr., and I brought up the question of words versus music.
I gather that your father used to didn't have think lyrics were quite as important as the music.
Well, that's very true, because one of the things he always used to remark upon when people left the theatre was that nobody ever left the theatre whistling the lyrics.
That's a cute line, but the truth is, with real big hit songs, you're not whistling the words, but you are whistling the central idea. That's part of the reason you're whistling. I mean, nobody whistles Old Man River without knowing what it's about. Nobody whistles The Way You Look Tonight without knowing what it's about. Nat D. Eyre should have understood this. He wrote hundreds of songs that none of us whistle, in part because they had highly unmemorable lyrics and third-rate song ideas attached to them. His two big hits were more fortunate, real strong lyric ideas that you understand and that you hear the minute you hear those bars. That's why audiences in Looney Tunes, every time Bugs Bunny looked at a girl and they heard those notes of music, they knew he was thinking, oh, you beautiful doll. The band was playing the tune. Nobody was whistling the lyrics, but the lyric idea was present in Bugs Bunny's reaction. As I said, he was very fortunate, Nat Eyre, that his two big hits were blessed with strong lyric ideas. The guys who had the big hit with the first song, first time round, a number one record in 1911, were the American Quartet. Sound of a hit record in 1911. It became a period piece very quickly. I mean, it's supposed to be about romantic attraction, but it's bouncy and jolly rather than ardent and sensuous. And long before Looney Tunes started using it, it was already a kind of cartoon. But like those gals in silhouette at the Bijou Theatre, it had legs. Oh, You Beautiful Doll, from ragtime to jazz. Western swing.
Oh, you beautiful doll, you great big beautiful doll. If you ever leave me, how my heart will ache. I want to hug you, but I fear you break. Oh, 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 you beautiful doll.
To smooth ballads.
Oh, you beautiful doll, you great big beautiful doll. me put my arms about you. Honey, I can't live without you.
To rock and roll. And then, of course, there were those Looney Tunes cartoons. It was already a quarter century old when Petunia Pig chowed down on those candies to Nat Air's tune. But Warner Brothers kept the song in business for the rest of the century. Here's Sylvester the Cat chasing Tweety Bird round a department store. He becomes momentarily distracted by the ladies' hats and starts trying them on. Now here's the same department store, Stacy's, and not Macy's, but it's a different chase. A taxidermist is pursuing Bugs from department to department until they run into ladies' lingerie. And by the time they emerge, the taxidermist is in the lingerie, and Bugs finds him very appealing. No. Okay, here's a couple of Looney Tunes supporting acts. The bulldog Mark Antony's mistress doesn't want him bringing the cute little kitten Pussyfoot into the house. So when he's caught red-handed, he dunks Pussyfoot in the makeup and pretends that she's a powder puff and he wants to make up his face. What else?
What have you got in your hand? Give it to me this instant. Now I have seen everything.
Now here's Daffy Duck and Porky Pig fleeing a swank hotel they can't pay their bill in by knotting sheets together and scrambling out the window. When Daffy espies through the window of a lower floor a magazine on a coffee table open at a most appealing cheesecake shop. Bugs Bunny again. He's just run Yosemite Sam out of a one-horse western town and is putting him on the train out when he discovers it's full of bathing beauties bound for Florida, and Bugs and Sam are fighting for a seat.
Well, goodbye. Bon voyage, Sammy.
He does some terrible things, that rabbit. Witch Hazel is so proud of her ugliness, but for Halloween, Bugs plays a mean trick and turns her beautiful. So what tune would you expect to hear? And here's one where the tables are turned. An evil mastermind seeks to lure Bugs with a beautiful mechanical rabbit robot motoring around to a very robotic version of that familiar tune.
You don't need to lock that door, Mac. I don't want to leave.
I don't know. Beauty-wise, I think I prefer Petunia Pig or Sylvester in his ladies' hats or the taxidermist wearing lingerie to a mechanical rabbit. But Bugs, he'll take what he can get.
Exit our hero. Mechanical. Well, so it's mechanical!
A As I said, Carl Stalling's endless deployments of the song for Looney Tunes kept Oh You Beautiful Doll going to the end of the century. Here's what would be my favourite version of the 21st century. It's by a singer I like very much, Jessica Malasky. And I love the arrangement and the vocal, but she makes one extraordinary error.
Honey dear, want you near? Just turn out the lights and then come over here. Nestle close up to my side. My heart's afire with love's desire. In my arms, rest complete. I never thought that life would ever be so sweet. Till I met you sometime. But now you know I love you so. Oh, you beautiful doll, you great big beautiful doll. Let me put my arms around you. I could never live without you.
No, 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 it's not let me put my arms around you. I could never live without you. That doesn't even rhyme. It's let me put my arms about you. I could never live without you. That's about the only marked distinction in Seymour Brown's lyric. And Miss Malasky blows it in an otherwise fine record, a great tragedy. In a way, Nat D'Eyre's life after Oh You Beautiful Doll underwent a tragedy all of its own. He did something very unusual for a successful American ragtime songwriter. He moved to England. Accompanying him on that voyage were his family, including his infant son, born in 1910, the late Nat Eyre Jr.
Well, he was one of the first people, for instance, to introduce ragtime to England. And he became very popular doing that, playing songs at the piano and also in the music halls. He introduced probably a different element to music after sort of Gilbert and Sullivan and Floridora and those sort of shows.
Mm. And your father, Richie, I think, came over with the American Ragtime Octet and decided to stay.
The American Ragtime Octet, including Nat D'Eyre singing Irving Berlin's song I Want to Be in Dixie. And Nat Eyre was a performer all his life. His American Ragtime was a big hit in England, yet he somehow wound up working on a show in London as un-American and as English as anything. Sometimes stars fade, styles change, but you can still see why something was a big hit in its day, even if that day is done. But a London review of 1916 called The Bing Boys Are Here is bewildering to us. Its stars, Violet Lorraine and George Robey, were household names and beloved, and this was the biggest thing they'd ever done. And The Bing Boys Are Here was the smash hit of the First World War and spawned a ton of sequels. After The Bing Boys Are Here came, inevitably, The Bing Boys Are There, and then The Bing Boys on Broadway, and, of course, The Bing Girls. All gone, all forgotten, except for one song, Nat D'Eyre's other enduring hit, written with an English lyricist called Clifford Gray.
I wondered if I could first ask you your memories of If You Were the Only Girl in the World.
Well, it's a long time ago, but the earliest memory I have of it was when my father and Clifford Gray were working together at our flat in Basil Street. The original title of the song was, as it came in the script, or the play, was If You Were the Only Valet and I Was the Only Maid. And I can remember, even today, the drawings on the front of the music was George Robey dressed as a so-called valet, and she was in dressed up like a housemaid. And, of course, subsequently, as you sing the song and so forth, of course, I don't suppose it would ever have been the success it was if they hadn't changed it to "If you were the only boy and I was the only girl."
It's fair to point out that if the lyrics had been left as "If you were the only valet in the world and I were the only maid," he might have had cause to regret that.
Well, I don't know. I think the song would have died. I've often wondered, really, because during that time, of course, we didn't have radio or anything like that, and when the various soldiers and sailors and so forth came back on leave, one thing they did was to see two shows in London. One was the Bing Boys and the other was Cheech and Chong. And I wondered, really, whether, but for those shows as a sort of meeting place and their association with the war, whether that song really would have been a success and lasted as it has done.
It's interesting from that point of view because, of course, it's not what you'd call a war song.
Oh, yes, well.
But the troops themselves always seem to prefer more sentimental things.
Well, that's the whole point. It was the sentiment at the time. And after all, when they were here on leave, it probably was the only girl, and when they went back, they never knew whether they were ever going to see her again.
If you were the only girl in the world, and you were the only one, nothing else would matter in this world.
Of course, for years afterwards, there's all these commemorations, for instance, the Armistice Day ceremonies at the Albert Hall. It was one of the songs that were played year in and year out. So that probably had a lot to do with it, I'm certain of that. And the association after that, of course, kept it going.
Mm. Did you actually like the song yourself, or...?
Well, I never disliked it.
I've no idea what possessed me to ask Nat Air Jr. such a stupid question. Why wouldn't he like it? Everybody else did.
If you were the only girl in the world, and I were the only. Nothing else would matter in the world today. We could go on loving in the same old way.
For an English theatre song of the period, the Bing Boys' big hit has been recorded by an amazing number of American performers. That was Perry Como. This is Sonny Rollins. Dean Martin.
If you were the only girl in the world, and I
could go on loving in the same sweet way. A garden of Eden just made for two, with nothing to change our joy.
Played a favorite 21st century Oh You Beautiful Doll. So here's my favorite recent If You Were the Only Girl by a distinguished British classical and film composer who also gets a kick out of singing pop songs, Sir Richard Rodney Bennett.
Father and Clifford Gray worked together for the next 5 years on innumerable Bing Boys sequels. What do you think it was? Because these things initially, I mean, the whole thing, looking back, appears a little preposterous, these. Do you think...
Ah, well, yes. Well, of course, after the Bing Boys, I think it was Bing Girls, and then the Bing Boys on Broadway. I suppose that took up most of the war, really. They revived it, as you know, in 1934, and I remember sitting at in a box at the Prince of Wales Theatre, the old Prince of Wales Theatre, on the opening night, and when Violet Lorraine and George Robey came to sing If You Were the Only Girl in the World, the whole house broke down in tears, and I think the show was almost held up for 3/4 of an hour.
Your eyes have set me dreaming all night long. Your eyes have set me scheming right or wrong. If you were the only girl in the world, and you were the only.
Of course, I was about 6 years of age at the time of the original show, and so I don't remember very much of the original show. Mm. But having seen this, I thought, my God, how did this ever last in the first place? And I wasn't far wrong, because 6 weeks after the show opened, it came off.
So,
and then went out, I think, twice nightly on the music halls, and that was the end of it.
Thank you.
after the First War, ready-made American musicals came over, and that made an enormous difference in the musical theatre.
So those Bing Boys things really belong to a more innocent age?
Yes, very much so, and they're typically English. I mean, I don't suppose it would have lasted one night in Broadway. I think he only did about a couple of shows after that here. Yes, Uncle, I think, was one, and Baby Bunting. Again, both typical English shows. Mm. And after that, I think he went back to America because there wasn't much doing here. Mm. Clifford Gray, of course, went on to do very big things in America, whereas my father sort of was unsuccessful in finding shows to write for, and went out on the halls and did his old act.
The next song was considered quite risque in its day, but then that was before divorce followed marriage as naturally as coffee follows the sweet, and before the spirit of Mae West animated civilization, though the hips were everywhere in evidence. I can see that you are married. Well, you know I'm married too, and nobody knows that you know me, and nobody knows that I know you, and if you care to, let's have luncheon every day here just the same. But sweetheart, if you talk in your sleep, don't mention my name.
Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on, 1910 style. If you talk in your sleep, don't mention my name. Written by Nat Eyre with the lyricist of Oh, You Beautiful Doll, Seymour Brown. If You Were the Only Girl in the World is in another league from anything else Nat Eyre wrote. Noel Coward thought enough of it to put it in a famous scene in Private Lives, and it's fascinating to see the scene played. On the surface, you've got all the brittle, shallow banter and the emotion, what's real, what's true in the scene, comes from Nat Dyer's tune. Oh,
darling, you look so sweet in your little dressing gown.
It is pretty ravishing, isn't it?
Do you mind if I come round and kiss you?
A pleasure, Lady Agatha.
Thank you very much.
Not at all. Big romantic stuff this, darling.
A garden of Eden, just made for two, with nothing to mar our joy. I would say such wonderful things to you, there would be such wonderful
She's right, she's right. Gertrude Lawrence and Noel Coward in Private Lives, and a textbook example of what Coward called the potency of cheap music. The songs we've been celebrating today are 195 years old, respectively, written for silly shows long forgotten. But if you do them right, right now, in the 21st century, they're warm and affecting, and like Coward says, potent. And they earn an otherwise obscure figure, Nat D. Eyre. Born Boston, Massachusetts, 1887, died Bath, England, 1952. They earn Nat Eyre his place in the American songbook.
And now we present a song that I'm sure you all know. Nat refuses to take the credit for that. He declares it was lifted to fame in the expert hands of Miss Violet Lorraine and Mr. George Robey in their great wartime success, The Bing Boys. And yet it's hard to think of them without also recalling Nat Eyre's delightful song, If You Were the Only Girl in the World. Thank you.
Nat D. Air with a very tender performance of his greatest song. See you next week.
Mark Stein's Song of the Week is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises. All rights reserved.